Hype Network presents.
Sige, tara na. May record lang. Bobby, let's naman just hope something comes up during the recording that will make this worthwhile.
Kailan ka pa naging basta tres mindset?
Take the leap. Let's just take the leap. Kasi naman wala tayong episode, diba?
O minsan you do that. Huwag na tayong mag-record.
I don't want to be a hypocrite and say we just do this for fun. We also do this for the likes and listens. Because validation feeds us. Ganun lang naman yun eh. Mm-hmm. So at least may listens tayo this week, diba?
Sure.
Kesa naman, we starve. You're listening to
Please Pause Season 5.
Staring up TV trouble and movie mischief
since 2019.
If you're with us for the first time, we're Mike and Em. We live in the Philippines. We're married and we are validation vampires. Quote of the week.
One day, maybe you'll learn that not being able to relate to other people isn't a badge of honor.
Sino nagsabi nun?
Si Coraline kay Monk, characters
from?
In American Fiction. But I'm also talking to you.
Ang akin naman, potential is what people see when they think what's in front of them isn't good enough.
In sync talaga dapat tayo. Yan dapat yung akin eh. Kaso feeling ko the other one is more of for you.
Well, that's Sintara Golden, also from American Fiction. It just kind of stuck with me kasi I don't think I can count anymore how many times I've said that a movie has potential in this podcast. We are still on a mission to understand and appreciate movies and TV shows for our little podcast on TV and film.
So if you haven't already, follow and subscribe to Please Pause, available in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and other major podcast platforms.
Follow na rin kami sa Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Threads, and Letterboxd at Please Pause PH. That's the Please Pause Podcast. Let's be moots.
And if you like the podcast, share it with your friends.
Thank you so much for helping us reach more TV and film fans. As we always say, mas marami ka boss, mas masayang conversation. May bago ba tayong Spotify ratings?
We do. We have two new Spotify followers. Ay, sorry. But,
ano ba? Followers
two
ba ratings?
New Spotify ratings. Sorry. Ratings pala.
Okay, numpit mo na naman kung ilan.
Hindi naman bumaba eh. So
hindi rin tumaas.
Hindi rin tumaas. So okay lang. Sabi sa'yo, napaka-critical nung decimal point here.
As for Spotify followers, this past week, we have one new Spotify follower!
Yay!
Oh, yay, diba? Nice. If you just discovered the podcast, don't forget to rate Please Pause at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you're listening to podcasts. 5 stars na. Thank you in advance. And thank you for joining us every week for meaningful
and meaningless conversations on the stuff we watch.
With one lang!
Spoiler-free so you can listen worry-free.
Tayo-tayo lang naman. Favor naman, recommend nyo naman yung Please Pause sa mga kilala nyo na mahilig sa movies or kahit hindi, okay lang din. So we can keep the Please Pause community growing.
Thank you for asking them nicely this time.
I always ask them nicely.
Sometimes may guilt trip effect ka eh, so.
No, I'm always nice to our listeners.
Sa akin lang hindi. Ano?
Hindi, to our non-listeners, not so much. Nanonood ako kanina ng Can't Buy Me Love sa Netflix. 2 minutes nilang tinitis na magli-lips to lips na si Don Bell.
Oh.
Tapos credits na bigla.
Emphasis on tease.
Tapos tutugtog na si Ben and Ben.
Autumn nights, I confine myself in galleries.
Oh, hindi na ano? River Maya?
Hindi! May bago silang kanta. Kanta nila ni Don Bell. Ay, kanta nila ni Bel Mariano tsaka ni Ben and Ben. Yun, Autumn.
Hindi
ko alam kung gano'ng
si
kabago yun. Ay, mukhang hindi.
Wait, kumakanta pala talaga si Bel? I mean, hindi ko alam ah.
Oo, may album nga siya eh.
As in like, singer ba siya nag-start? Or na-train siya kumanta eventually?
Sandali lang, meron akong clip for that eh.
I don't know, depende kung hindi ko kaya sagutin.
Thank you, Senator Mark. Hindi ko kaya sagutin, hindi ko alam, okay.
Hindi ko ba, akala ko marami ka nang alam kasi caught up ka na sa Can't Buy Me Love. Alam mo yung mga bagong songs at sinong kumanta.
Eh, paano ko ba naman di malalaman? Eh, every other scene, pinapatugtog din siya.
Really?
Autumn nights, I confine myself.
Hindi ko yan alam, no? Yung song na yan.
Hindi ko alam kung gaano siya kabago eh. Pero anyway, tama na. Tama ng paligoy-ligoy. Let's go na. Ano, American Fiction. Oscar movie. By the time this episode is released, may winners na. Mananalo kaya siya? Let's see. American Fiction. Info dump. Go.
So yung premise ng American Fiction is you have this character, Thelonious Ellison or Monk. played by Jeffrey Wright. He's an African-American writer whose novels, while critically acclaimed, do not sell well kasi hindi raw black enough. So as a joke, he wrote a satirical book that has all the black stereotypes and cliches.
He writes the most stereotypical pandering
novel
that he can.
And supposedly to drive a point ka against the pandering. But it was taken as serious literature. It became both a critical and commercial success to the point that gagawin pa nga siya ng movie. So it's based on the 2001 novel Erasure by Percival Everett. It's directed by Cord Jefferson as his feature debut. So ang daming mga ano ngayon, no? Feature debuts na
talaga ba?
Oscars
first movie ba niya
nominated
to?
Films. Sabi sa internet. I don't know. Why are you asking me as
siya
if I should know?
Ng screenplay, di ba?
Hindi ko na na-check yun. Tapos it also stars Sterling K. Brown, better known to us as Randall from This Is Us, his monk's brother, and then there's Leslie Ugams. Di ko alam paano i-pronounce yung family name niya.
Let's just go with that.
As their mother. Tapos siya daw si Blind Al sa Deadpool.
She
does look familiar and I thought naman sa madami ko na siyang napanood. Pero nung binasa ko yung filmography niya, parang yun lang familiar ako. So even though kung anumang mangyari sa Oscars, marami naman ang napanalunan yung film na to. It won the Toronto International Film Festival People's Choice Award. It was also the Critics' Choice Movie Award for Best Adapted Screenplay and nanalo rin siyang Best Adapted Screenplay sa BAFTA.
Alam mo, panalong-panalo talaga siya kung mostly white yung judges sa mga film festival na yun.
Ah. Ang galing,
diba,
no?
Punchline na yung movie tapos punchline pa yung awards niya, di ba?
Tapos nabanggit mo nga sa Oscars, it has several nominations including Best Picture and Best Adapted Screenplay. So when I was reading the Wikipedia plot entry for this, doon ko una na-encounter yung term na limousine liberals.
Mm-hmm.
Alam mo na ba to?
Baka
ako
really
na naman yung engot na hindi nakakaalam as usual.
So, no, alam mo, hindi ko alam, pero just by the sound of it, alam mo yun, magigits mo na what it is.
So yeah, it describes hypocritical behavior by political liberals na usually na sa upper class or upper middle class na status. Yung origins daw kasi is tied to a wealthy individual na driven around in a luxurious limousine pero claiming to understand yung struggles of the poor, working class, or marginalized communities. So basically, parang it's primarily describing unwillingness of such liberals to practice the views they say that they uphold. Para examples daw, halimbawa yung nagko-call for public transpo nga pero naka-limousine naman or naka-chopper, kunwari. Yung halimbawa
hindi mo naman kasi talaga masisisi.
Or yung nagsisupport daw ng public education pero yung children nila naka-private school with high tuition fees. I guess one scene that comes to mind is when one character says dito sa movie, "I just think we should really be listening to black voices right now." And napaka nakakatawa nung scene na yon. So yeah, it's a dark comedy nga about the overcompensating mass white interest with black white material and what is called racial commodification. Dami ko natututunan terminologies here.
I am all ears with this info though.
And it just hilariously deep dives into all of this. With International Women's Day recently, diba, and diversity a strong buzzword still, this is timely when we saw it. I think recently lang din naman siyang lumabas sa Prime Video, right?
Kahit
last year
week
pa to. So, ikaw, how did you find the movie?
I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I understand all the nuance and sensitivity of the issue of race in America.
Well, number one, di naman tayo black.
And wala tayo sa America.
Yeah,
I mean, di tayo nakatira
sa America. May ibang kind
America
of racism here.
But this movie is so funny.
Yeah.
Probably the funniest among the comedies nominated for Best Picture sa Oscars. But funny not in that we have lots of jokes, punchline after punchline way. It's more of a situationally funny film. It's really smartly written. The novel probably deserves a lot of the credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Hindi ko nabasa yung novel. Yung storyline with the housekeeper, Lorraine, that was very touching. Sterling K. Brown kills it as always. As much as we loved him in This Is Us, I wasn't aware that he has rock-hard abs. Holy crap!
Yun talaga yung napansin mo. Hindi talaga ako abs person. And then, quite notice that.
And see, Jeffrey Wright, it goes without saying, he brought it in this movie. I've seen some reviews saying that the film makes a mockery of liberal values. Probably reviews by right-wing people with their own agenda, seeing what they wanted to see.
So parang ano to, ibang version ng mga troll reviewers on the internet.
If you follow Mok's character arc, I don't think that was what the movie was trying to do. Kasi Mok has a point, but he's not entirely correct.
Mm-hmm.
Diba? Yun naman yung pupuntahan ng movie.
Maganda
eventually
naman how they express that through another character in the movie din.
One of the lessons para sa akin, we are all different levels and different flavors of hypocritical. We all have different levels of privilege. We all do things that make us feel less guilty, and sometimes we tend to overdo it. But in the end, wokeness in general is not just trying to right what's wrong in the world, but also recognizing that self-awareness is also critical. Naalala ko dun sa character ni Sintara yung Iska by Direk Theodore Boborol.
Oh.
Kasi diba, some people were quick to label Iska as poverty porn.
Yeah.
You can blame them with the number of Filipino movies of that type that's being made.
Mm.
Lalo na since mabenta kasi yung ganun sa international film festivals. What some people failed to realize initially was that Iska was based on a real person with a real story.
Yeah, in the same way na sabi ni Sinatra, diba?
Sintara. Ano Sinatra?
Sintara pala. Right? Sabi niya, diba, ano, she did research, extensive stuff, and hindi rin naman hindi totoo yung mga nakasulat doon.
And yun nga, kaya kung kasi sabi kanina na, Mok has a point.
Yeah.
Alam mo yun, nung una, he makes a lot of sense, pero hindi naman talaga siya totally tama din.
And I guess, subconsciously, na-realize din naman niya kasi nag-agree sila ni, ano, Sintara.
Sintara
na sabihin ko. Ano Sintara
to,
Ratpak?
Ano to?
In many ways, diba? So, naingit lang siya kasi.
And gusto ko lang i-point out, just look at Miss Ruby Ruiz now. Rubbing elbows with Nicole Kidman. Oh, diba? Really happy for her.
Echoing what you said, the movie started really funny with the crisp lines. Kaya naman, it's not difficult to get hooked. And it continues on this trajectory with the characters' actions and such. Sabi mo, situational comedy. Apart from the theme on what the movie is obviously about, and yun nga yung mga sinabi mo, there's also grief, family, and relationships handled both with humor and in a heartfelt manner, like si Lorraine, yung housekeeper nila, yung naging love interest ni Monk eventually. I would have liked better if they gave us more about their family dynamic and what it is that broke their hearts. But
yeah,
at the same time, they did din naman. There's only a few blanks left to fill.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess okay lang din na it's not too melodramatic kasi it can be in any form that all families may have.
Naisip ko nga dun eh, kasi diba, yung sinusulat niyang books, kinakategorize siya as hindi black, diba? Hindi black fiction. Well, kasi hindi naman kasi siya underprivileged talaga. So wala siya long ghetto stories,
right,
diba?
Uh-oh.
He can't tell stories that aren't his. Pero yung family niya mismo, di ba? I mean, it's very rich.
Yeah.
But I understand na syempre, ayaw niyang isulat yun.
So, yung personal takeaways ko naman, number one, in line with the limousine liberal concept, what would change the world are really genuine advocacies. And these are usually genuine because they're personal. Not just for the sake of being politically correct or that which stems from certain groups of people, sabi nga natin, overcompensating for the mistakes of their ancestors. Not to say din naman ha, that wokeness or yung concept of it, it's not one step forward for the better. But ultimately, ano ba talaga yung actionable? Like tayo, ano lang ba kaya natin ipaglaban? Sabi mo nga, di ba, different levels of privilege, levels of being hypocrite or whatever. It's
so yun ba ang theme ng episode na to?
Ano?
The hypocrisy episode.
Ewan ko, bahala ka na ako nung sumagawing title. Yung atin, diba, yung challenging the working from office if it serves no better purpose than working from home. And that's something you've expressed intensely in our previous episode.
Oh, I intensely expressed na pro-return to office ako, diba? Have I not made that clear?
Number two naman, Monk sticking to his brand and principles, having an over my dead body mindset on certain strategies when it comes to writing and selling books that ultimately relies on popularity among the masses equals no books sold. Sounds familiar? You recently just reflected on us doing this for 5 years now and yet...
Masyado ka naman nakaka-relate. Ikaw naman.
But going back, I've seen Jeffrey Wright in Westworld that, I don't know, I gave up on. Twilight siya rin
we
din
gave yung, up on?
Ako lang. Ikaw rin ba? Akala ko dahil ayoko lang.
Siguro,
ayaw mo na rin.
I tried to hold on more
yeah,
than you did.
Yeah, feeling ko nanonood ka pa rin kahit ayoko na eh.
Pero bumitaw din eventually.
I don't hold it against you kasi ayoko na talaga. And then Twilight Zone, di ba? Siya yung, ano ba tawag dun? Narrator. Storyteller. Na parang tinigil din natin mid-season. So, here in American Fiction, I guess it's fair to say ito yung favorite ko of him.
Ang galing nun, no? Yung kung binilang nila yung judges dun sa mga award-giving bodies na napanalunan niya.
Favorite ko yung phone call from the award-giving body. Napaka wala. Walang ano, walang BS. Straight to the point.
No, I was talking about in the real world.
Ah. Alam ko, kaya nga, yun nga yung, kaya nga, going to the movie.
Kasi
going back to the movie.
Nanalo yung American Fiction. Our point exactly. O, break muna tayo dyan.
Shake, Rattle, and Roll Extreme after the break.
Hi, my name is Mark Adem and I'm the host of Quantox the Podcast, a podcast show that we can discuss different hot trending topics from love, social media, politics, and many more. May pagkulitan, makipagkwentuhan lang dito sa Quantox the Podcast. See you there!
Magbasa muna tayo ng messages. I promised we'd do this week, so I can't put this off any longer. It's always nice when we get feedback because it makes us feel like we exist. Validation vampires. Sabi ni Mr. Joma Labayan sa Spotify, writer of I Am Not Big Bird. Ang mahal ng tourism sa Thailand dahil ang Laguna ng damon nila. And nung sinulat daw niya yung pelikula, never pa daw siya nakapunta sa Thailand, kaya challenge din. And tama daw tayo, nag-cameo nga siya sa simula ng movie, siya yung nagbigay ng flyer kay Enrique. I Am Not Big Bird, written by Lilith Reyes and Joe Malabayan, directed by Victor Villanueva. I heard na yung napagkamalan na porn star, nangyari daw talaga yun sa friend ni Lilith Reyes dati when they were in Thailand.
Wow.
Thank you Mr. Joma Labayan. O eto, sabi naman ni Direk Victor Villanueva, ang saya daw ng Big Bird episode natin. Tapos sabi kasi natin, di ba, Big Bird despite its MTRCB rating feels a little mild for an R16 movie. So we asked if may chance bang magkaroon ng director's cut. Sabi niya, working on it daw. Suggestion ko nga kasi from our episode, di ba? They can release the mothers and daughters cut in cinemas. Then release the wives and lovers cut somewhere else. Abangan natin. Thank you, Direk Victor. Eto, sabi naman ni Andrew from Smash That Screen. Aliw daw siya with our episode. Tawa daw siya ng tawa. That was about our Poor Things episode a few weeks back. Check out nyo rin yung page niya for film reviews. Smash That Screen. Thank you, Andrew. Sabi naman ni Joy, about my name is Loki Wan. So Song Joong Ki daw. Hindi masyado maganda ang storyline. Hindi na maximize si Vincenzo. Favorite pa naman daw niya si Song Joong Ki.
Yun pala pangalan ni Vincenzo?
Song Joong Ki nga.
Malay ko.
Oo. Medyo bago lang sa Netflix yung movie, My Name is Loki Wan. Thank you, Joy. Putulin ko muna dyan ha. Next week na yung ibang shoutouts natin ha. Para kunyari maraming nag-message sa atin. And we can't fit them all in one episode.
Wow. Ilan lang yung binasa mo?
Meron pa natitira. Totoo naman. Next week na lang. Allow me to use this as a jumping off point because I actually watched My Name is Loki Wan.
Oh, really? You did?
Pinanood ko nung isang araw habang inaantay kita. Alam mo naman, it takes you 2 hours para makauwi lang dito sa bahay, di ba? From office. For work na kailangan talagang gawin sa office. Pinanood ko nga si Song Joong Ki, North Korean defector siya who is seeking asylum in Belgium. Hulaan mo ko anong pangalan niya.
Loki Wan.
Based pala to sa isang novel, nalaman ko lang in post. It was heartbreaking to see na si Vincenzo na mumulot ng basura. I can only imagine the pre-production meeting. Okay team, ito ang vision ko. Super cute na kuting na nilalamig na sa kalye. We need to convey that feeling to our audience. Sobrang kawawa kasi. And I get it naman, okay? May scene pa nga doon na gutom na siya, oh. Tapos merong bread na may amag. Tapos tinanggal lang niya yung amag, oh. Tapos kinain niya.
Blue cheese.
Ayun nga, parang blue nga yung kulay doon. Tapos subukas siya. Meron pang prejudice and racism and xenophobia. So parang, how can you not feel bad for him, di ba? And everything stacked against him. It's that kind of underdog movie na ang dating sa akin, they made it as a vehicle to showcase Junkie's dramatic skills.
Okay.
I'm cool with that. But not to take away anything from the plight of refugees. But as a movie lang, ah, I kinda agree with Joy, story-wise. Kinda so-so. So thank you, Joy. Sabi kasi niya, panoorin pa rin daw natin.
Okay.
Pinanood ko naman.
Ikaw lang.
Oh, okay. Hindi naman ako nagsisay na pinanood ko. I mean, it's Vincenzo.
That's not my point. Di mo na naman ako sinama.
Eh, wala ka eh. Ang gagawin ko. Oh, ito pa. Isa pang napanood ko din. Kasi nga, it takes you 2 hours to get home. Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
Oh, you watched that without me.
Okay lang. Huwag ka mag-alala.
Bakit?
Kikwento ko na lang sa'yo.
Eh, medyo hindi naman ako enticed from the trailer. It's like a tale told too many times. Adapted to Aquaman.
Nasa HBO Go na nga kasi.
I
directed
know,
by James Wan. The last pre-James Gunn era DCEU.
Talagang movie. James Wan before James Gunn. Pwede kang gumawa ng poem na katulad nung Junakis Arakis mo. Because they rhyme.
Remind me to post a summary of our Dune Part 2 episode.
You haven't posted it. I think you already did. Sa Letterboxd.
O, pinost na ba sa Letterboxd?
Yeah.
Ang premise ng Aquaman in the Lost Kingdom, kailangan mag-team up ni Aquaman at nung kapatid niyang si Orm. Naalala mo ba si Orm?
Hindi, but ni-remind mo ko nung tinanong ko sino yun from the trailer.
Siya yung brother niya, nakalaban niya sa Aquaman 1. Basta kailangan nila mag-team up to save Atlantis and the entire world. Parang ganun.
Mm.
I've forgotten that Nicole Kidman is Aquamom.
She was. Ba't mo nakalimutan yun?
I don't know. It just slipped my mind. I mean, just like the first Aquaman movie.
Yung nawawala yung ano, diba? Yung love interest niya.
That's a different story.
Kaya nga.
Si Temuera Morrison, I remember as Aquadad.
Yeah.
Because he's Boba Fett. Tapos hindi ko alam na nandito pala sa movie na to si Randall Park.
As?
Sidekick nung kalaban.
Oh. Tumatawid din, na siya from Marvel to
yan
DC.
Yan din yung naisip ko, nung lumabas siya eh. Oh.
Well, good for him.
Binanggit mo nga si Amber Heard kanina, di ba?
Mm.
I've forgotten na waterbender nga pala siya dito.
Oh, okay.
Troubled as she is, they didn't delete her completely. They just gently cut out her screen time to the bare minimum.
Walang ano, kunwari siya pero nakatalikod. Di ba may mga ganun tricks?
Anong point nun?
Nagsasalita siya.
Anong point
nun? Kausap niya Aquaman, tapos si Aquaman lang yung kita sa screen. Siya yung nakatalikod. At least you don't have to cut her out of the story.
Hindi naman siya na-cut out sa story totally talaga. Mm. Probably they just hope that people won't notice na 5 minutes na lang siya lang sa movie.
Pero nandun talaga siya pala.
Nga siya.
Like lumabas yung face niya and all.
The thing is, she is Mrs. Aquaman and she's kind of integral to the movie that they've already made.
And with a baby.
I'm sure they could have written her off.
Oh.
Alam mo yun, there was a possible out if you've seen the movie. Kaso lang, killing her off wouldn't make sense for the tone
di
of the story.
Off. Kasi hindi ko siya nakita sa trailer, so I thought she's really not in the movie.
Eh, the trailer is a promotional tool. So,
okay.
Probably they didn't want to use her to promote right. The movie anymore. Parang kasing cartoon yung movie. I'm not sure if that was what they were going for, but they surely wanted to keep it light and humorous. And I have to concede, Jason Momoa and Patrick Wilson as brothers were entertaining naman. Hindi ko naman ikakaila, no?
Okay.
Eto, this is speaking only in terms of superhero movies. These characters have existed in the comics for decades, so hindi to going into comics territory. As movies lang, it's hard when Black Panther came before you, and Iron Man for that matter. May pagka-rockstar din kasi yung gusto nilang presentation ni Aquaman
rockstar.
Dito.
Okay.
Oh, and when I say Black Panther, it's not even Wakanda Forever with Namor. Kasi syempre yun yung mas apples to apples na Atlantis to Atlantis comparison. Pero yung concept lang of a hidden kingdom revealing itself to the world for the first time, it's an uphill battle in terms of freshness.
Yeah.
How are you going to follow Black Panther?
And it's not like diba? Sabay silang lumabas and coincidental lang that they're working on the same team. Pero ang tagal na kasi nito eh.
Yun nga. In terms of movies lang.
Uh-huh.
Kasi sa comics naman, gano'n naman na talaga eh.
Okay.
And that's just too bad. Kasi Jason Momoa single-handedly turned Aquaman from the butt of Justice League jokes into a beer-drinking, skull-bashing, fish-talking Khal Drogo of the Seven Seas. Kaya, alam mo yun, medyo nakakapanghinayang din eh.
Na... Duncan na rin siya.
Yeah, end of an era. O sige, shake, rattle, and roll extreme na tayo. From Regal Films, the 16th installment na nga pala to ng Shake, Rattle, and Roll franchise. Released November last year, gusto sana nilang sumali sa MMFF like most Shake, Rattle, and Roll movies before it. Kasi that's kind of been a Christmas tradition. I mean, I don't know, institution na ba yun?
Pero apparently pati the previous year, hindi rin siya kasama.
Dalawang Shake, Rattle, and Roll ata yung nabasa ko na hindi nakasali in the history of Shake, Rattle, and Roll. Hindi sila natanggap this year, but now it's on Netflix. Para sa mga katulad natin na hindi to napanood sa sine. There are 3 episodes, Glitch, directed by Richard Somes, Mukbang, directed by Gerald Tarog, and Rage, directed by Joey De Guzman. Richard Somes and Gerald Tarog have directed other Shake, Rattle, and Roll episodes before. Gerald Tarog also directed the Ulam episode in the movie before Extreme. Yung si Dennis Trillo tsaka si Carla Abellana. Napanood natin yun.
Uh-oh.
I guess mahilig talaga si Sir Gerald Tarog sa pagkain.
Right.
It's Joey De Guzman's first Shake, Rattle, and Roll, but it's unsurprising that he made Rage. Alam mo kung anong movie niya bago to?
Wait, alam ko.
Ano?
Nakalimutan ko yung title.
Day Zero. Zombie
yun nga,
movie
yun yung iniisip
ni Brandon
ko.
Vera and Pepe
kaya
Herrera.
Nga, yan yung iniisip ko. I just forget the title.
Saan naman natin ito pinanood? Amazon Prime ba? Prime Video ata ito nilabas eh.
Hindi sa Netflix?
Hindi. I don't think so. It's one of those non-Netflix releases.
Baka.
Prime
Pero
Video
saan
siguro.
Ito, diba? Sa production nila.
Reality Studios.
Yun. Reality Studios, yeah.
How extreme was Shake, Rattle, and Roll extreme? Sige nga.
Nakalimutan ko talaga kung anong title ng glitch. Sinulat ko na lang Gary the Goat. Para namang G. Well, as usual, diba, it's divided into 3 stories. Diba sometimes may connection, sometimes wala.
I think no? Yun yung gimmick ng mga ibang Shake, Rattle, and Roll dati.
Ito this time, public service announcement, walang connection. At least as far as I've understood it. Baka hindi ko lang na-gets. Meron pala. Dun sa glitch, I guess yung favorite ko dun was si Donna Carriaga. I mean, no surprise naman. Siya naman prati kong favorite whenever there's a film with her. Yung kid doon, first time ko lang siyang makita. And I feel like sometimes she overdoes it. But okay
ano
lang naman
issue
kasi...
Ano bang sa mga bata?
Kasi kid siya.
Sa mga child actor, yan ang parating comment mo eh.
Yeah, I'm just commenting but I'm not saying it against the kid. Kasi bata pa naman kasi sila. That's understandable, I guess. Although, medyo effectively creepy yung scene niya nung nag-chant na siya about letting Gary the Goat in. Kasi nag-iiba-iba yung tone and intensity. Tapos medyo nakatakot na yung mata niya. I guess itong episode na to yung pinaka-scary when it comes to supernatural elements. Alam mo yung matakot ka matulog kasi baka lumabas yung ganito and ganyan. But medyo off lang for me yung naging supposedly final battle slash action sequences when they were trying to fight off the demon. And the starting scene we thought would come full circle with the rest of the story pero parang hindi ata ganun. I guess it just tells us kung ano yung nationality ni Gary the Goat.
Sasabihin ko nga din yun.
Yung Rage naman, action siya kaagad, diba? From the start. And I'm not really sure kung ano yung pinaglalaban niya. It's like Block Z kasi there's zombie-like people and your barkada main characters. Apparently, it's from the same filmmakers of Day Zero. It also follows the same theme. But so what? Yun lang naman. I mean, so for me, itong Rage...
Yan ang gagawin kong highlight. Yan ang quote mo para sa Shake, Rattle, and Roll Extreme. So what?
I think meron naman siya.
Wala na. Kahit ano pang sabihin mo after this, yun na yung i-highlight
hindi,
ko.
Ultimately, na-realize ko rin naman that Gary the Goat slash Glitch and Rage, they're reminiscing on Iza Calzado and Jane De Leon's Darna roles.
Okay.
Diba? Ang dami nilang mga focus scenes na... Yung ganun. Yeah, exactly. Nalalo kasing mga soundtrack, yung mga Vincenzo. Whenever they're doing badass moves. Yung three segments, diba? They're from different directors, as you've mentioned. And after kong mapanood lahat, di ko actually alam kung sino nag-direct ng alin. And while I'm not certainly familiar with the other director's work, I know right away kung alin doon yung kay Gerald Tarog. Yung mukbang, so nasa gitna siya, right? It hit all the right notes for me. And if others would have wanted it to be scarier and legit horror, di naman kasi ako fan ng horror, so I'm even happier that it was not that. I like the mix of suspense / thriller and comedy. And being a relevant commentary about influencers and social media, especially with the times now. Yung pagkakaroon din ng ensemble cast of up-and-coming actors and personalities, and how it's written tightly from start to end. Si RK Bagat seeing surprisingly naturally funny siya here. I mean, usually kasi yung mga napapanood nating role, serious siya. So I like, okay. So na-enjoy ko naman yung parang funny side niya. Tapos Ninong Rai is just cool and badass. First ano ba niya to?
I don't know kung first movie niya to.
Appearance.
Hindi ko alam.
But
I'm sorry.
Syempre ano naman siya, 'di ba? YouTube sensation. So It's not like it's his first time on camera. And yung favorite kong si Fee Palmos, kahit di ko nakilala na siya pala yun. So, he was fun din.
Hindi mo makikilala na siya yun.
Naka-glasses, hello, ibang-iba yung itsura niya. Grabe ka naman.
Baka naman di mo lang talaga alam itsura niya in the first
ano
place.
Ano ba? Grabe naman yung grabe. Iba talaga, like yung buhok niya, yung glasses niya. The script is funny, even yung mga pahapyaw lang sa mga supposedly small talk nila. Favorite ko yung, sige, mag-bonding muna kayo ha. Tapos, kung ano yung scene next. Pati yung mga hear it nila on yung old telephone, yung curtain rod. Alam mo yun, parang nagpapatawa lang siya ng hindi mo in-expect na nagpapatawa pala siya. I just loved how overall the concept made perfect sense with the message it was telling.
I could be wrong, but it feels like this movie, when it was released, made more noise than some of the MMFF movies.
As if naman, wala ka naman dito nung pinalabas yung mga MMFF.
Siyempre sa social media lang, di ba? Good for Regal, I guess. Glitch was a valiant attempt at cursed terror in the age of YouTube. Mukbang combines internet influencers and folk horror because why not?
It made perfect sense.
Rage was a creative take on the zombie genre. Medyo weird lang yung 1993 prologue scene sa Glitch kasi wala naman pala sa kanilang related dun sa mga bida.
I think yun yung point ng internet, diba? It crosses borders, space,
time. Tama ka naman. Nitpick, meron dong umaandar pa rin yung computer game kahit tumayo na si Kuya. Another nitpick, bakit ang dami nilang sheets na nakasampay?
Uy, ang ganda nung scene na yun.
It made some great cinema, pero hotel ba sila?
Nakita mo ba yung pantakip nila ng sofa white sheets? Ah, may aso.
Ilan ba ang sofa nila? Pero baka naman Airbnb sila. Hindi lang natin alam.
Yung basement Airbnb.
Baka binanggit nga nila and it just went over my head. I don't know.
Or, alam ko na, di ba fashion designer si tita or si mommy? Basi isa kalsado. Ginagamit niya yung white sheets for, I don't know, stuff.
It's just fascinating that as technology and society evolves, horror evolves with it. Ang dami na rin kasi sa Hollywood who took a stab at YouTube horror eh. Even internationally, naalala ko nga yung Incantation eh. Taiwanese horror movie, di ba?
Ano na, evolution lang yan from The Ring na VHS tape, tapos sa TV lalabas yung monster.
Can you believe that there was a time na yung mga curse kumakalat lang through videotape and CRT na TV? Yuck. I'm sure that sounds very ancient to our Zillennial friends.
Pero at least yung The Ring, it made effort to really show you how Sadako came from point A to point B. dito sa Glitch, lumabas lang bigla si Gary the Goat . Imagine ang ganda siguro kung nag-crawl out siya from the phone.
Yung mukbang naman has been highlighted by many people as the gem among the three. I have to say, it was really fun.
Yeah.
It's a stab at building a contemporary urban legend. Like the LRT episode when LRT was very new and very comfortable. And yung aircon niya, malamig pa. This time it's about content creators. Ang galing ng concept na to kasi matutuwa yung mga vlogger lovers because it's about vloggers, and matutuwa rin yung vlogger haters because it's about how ridiculous and manufactured their content is.
Masaya ka ba na hindi pa tayo umabot sa ganung level and you have to promote products of sponsors?
Dadating ako dyan. Pero yung mukbang, they even go so far as to suggest that maybe there's something sinister behind it all. And in keeping with the theme of this podcast episode, I'm saying that in the most hypocritical way, considering the amount of clout we're chasing ourselves. Pinag-usapan na natin to 2 or 3 episodes ago eh, sa as if it's true, diba? Yun na din yun eh. And then we have rage. There was some badassery from Jane De Leon. I guess that's going to be Jane's roles from now on, post Darna. Action hero lady. Okay lang naman. I have nothing against that. I'm just not sure if there was enough of new stuff here. I think wala naman silang intended na one episode above the others, no? But Rage was clearly the main event of the movie, scale-wise and budget-wise. Unfortunately, I think Mukbang upstaged it.
Sabi ko kasi, diba, ba't nasa gitna yung Mukbang?
Ayun na nga. Main event nga kasi. It's the big one. Rage.
But concept-wise...
hindi ko alam. Personal take ko lang naman. Medyo na-upstage siya ng mukbang.
Hindi lang medyo. Personal take ko lang din.
Pause mo na tayo. One more time.
Thanksgiving and Shogun after one more commercial break.
Mainit na diskusyunan.
Masarap na kwentuhan.
Malinamnam na usapan.
At nakakagising na balitaktakan.
Parang kape lang. My name is Jeff.
And I'm Weya Angeline.
Join us in our conversations at Coffee Na Lang Dear Podcast.
Parati lumalabas sa Netflix suggestions yung Super 6. Iniisip ba ng Netflix algorithm? Ooh, you're interested in sex, eh? How would you like Super 6?
Ano ba kasi mga pinapanood mo? Sabi mo yung chew. Ano yun yung...
Ikaw din naman eh. Ano ba mga pinapanood mo?
Kanino ba lumalabas yung sa account mo, diba? Nakita ko naman kung anong pinanood ko sa account ko. 4 Sisters and the Wedding. My Best Friend's Wedding. Kung wedding dapat yung lalabas.
Every time I see it, I just want to sing, Super 6, Super 6. But wait a minute while I make you mine. Ay, nako. Speaking of Netflix, Thanksgiving, brief Netflix chart topper directed by Eli Roth, based on a fictitious trailer also by Eli Roth in Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez's 2007 film Grindhouse. It was first released in cinemas in the US last November. Well, of course, nung Thanksgiving season, duh! $15 million budget, a modestly impressive $46 million gross. Now it's on Netflix, starring Neil Verlack and Patrick Dempsey. Pati si Addison Rae, top billed din siya sa Netflix kahit hindi ganun kalaki yung role niya. But when you're a huge TikTok star, I guess you have some pull, so okay. Si Neil Verlack, hindi ko alam kung Neil Verlack ba dapat yung pronunciation ng pangalan niya, but whatever.
Sino ba siya dun?
Yung bida!
Ay, yung babae?
Oo.
Eh, ba't kasi yung pangalan? I thought, inisip ko, sino sa mga lalaki? Hindi naman siya si Patrick Dempsey.
Basta yung bida. Initially, I knew I've seen her before. I just couldn't place her. Narealize ko na lang after na nandun pala siya sa Big Shot sa Disney Plus Girls High School Basketball Series. Kinuwento ko na rin yun dito sa podcast
before.
Saka na
sisilip ko rin yun.
Kasi nga, diba, sabi ko sa'yo, mahilig din ako sa sports shows. Ang premise ng Thanksgiving, 1 year after a Black Friday riot where people died, merong Thanksgiving killer na gumagala at isa-isa niyang pinapatay yung mga taong involved in the tragedy. O, diba? It's that simple. I just found out after na yung setting ng movie sa Plymouth, Massachusetts, dun daw pala ang first ever Thanksgiving sa US by the Pilgrims. Kaya pala big deal yung
big
Thanksgiving
deal
sa kanila.
And instead of using Halloween this time, Thanksgiving for a killer movie.
First of all, you have to admit, I played it expecting it's one of those Netflix movies that'll just come and go, but we stayed and finished it.
No, right? kaya pala nagka-cram tayo ngayon kasi we spent Saturday. I was thinking, ano ba ginawa natin kahapon, Saturday afternoon? I know I fixed clothes, but impossible naman na yun lang nakaubos nung day. Ito nga pala yun.
I think pinanood mo lang siya dahil kay Patrick Dempsey.
Not aminin really. Mo na, I'm not into McDreamy.
Aminin mo na kasi.
Ay, ano ba?
Okay lang naman.
Dr. McDreamy. Doc Dreamy or Mac Dreamy? Ano Mac tawag? Dreamy. Mac Dreamy.
Oh, how was Thanksgiving for you?
There was too much gore. If Totally Killer is a movie I would describe as not holding back its punches, ito next level eh when it comes to gore. Imagine pati yung skin off your skull.
Scalp.
So scalp. Sorry. Skin ang ta- scalp ang tawag sa skin.
Oo, yun yung definition ng scalp. Yes, you're correct.
I was about to say kasi skin off your scalp. Skull pala. So, scalp. Yung pagpunit nun, pati ba naman yun napaka-explicit? Parang ako yung nasasaktan.
Alam mo, hindi ka talaga mahilig sa horror. Hindi kasi nga. This is not the first.
I know. I can't stand suspense, diba? But you stay because you want to know who the killer is. But it's not really written like a whodunit. It's more of a, I think it's too obvious if it's him game. Mayroon lang ding overly long scene with this one character na I thought may satisfying outcome, pero parang wala lang. Though baka it more observes the purpose of what the character represents.
I get it.
There's also glaring plot holes about how the characters behave given the circumstances. But I guess kung wala yun, wala yung mga ganitong types of movies. Like you said, background watch nga lang to, but we ended up watching it with full attention. Na turned out okay lang din naman, though not really life-changing.
Holiday horror is a well-known horror formula. Making something festive scary, that's a very easy concept to grasp. It doesn't always land. More often than not, medyo nasa corny side yung kinalalabasan eh. On the other hand, camp and gore is always a potent combination for those who know how to properly wield it. But there's a fine line between smart satire and so bad it's good. Either way, it can generate a cult following. The mix of those elements, it's really tricky to get right. I can see that Thanksgiving brought their best turkey in that sense, on top of taking consumerism to its most bloody extreme. No leftovers! Oh my gosh, that was my favorite line from this movie.
I think towards the end lang naman naging ganun. You have to admit yung simula naman, it has a message in a way. Alam mo yun, about blame and accountability.
Dapat ang title nito, Thanksgiving Extreme. Thanksgiving is like that restaurant na tama lang yung presyo, hindi naman pang araw-araw na level lang ha, pero hindi rin pang anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Michelin star level quality, pero pwede na. Thanksgiving is that to me. Yeah. Pwede na entertainment. They didn't hit the bullseye, but they weren't way off either. That's Thanksgiving for you. Moving on, ongoing series naman tayo. Shogun, the readaptation of James Clavell's 1975 novel. Meron na pala kasing series nung 1980 na Shogun. Shogun episodes are released weekly on Hulu and FX in the US. Mapapanood siya dito sa atin on Disney Plus. Created by Rachel Kondo and Justin Marks. Mag-asawa sila. So see, sometimes husband and wife teams actually accomplish something remarkable.
Wow.
In this day and age, at the very least, it would be weird to do a show heavily inspired by Japanese history without the involvement of a Japanese creator. Fortunately, Rachel Kondo is of Japanese descent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know kung magkamag-anak sila ni Marie Kondo. Looking at the living quarters ng mga characters dito sa show, I wouldn't be surprised if that is the case.
Pinapakita diba how they fold?
Baka ka-related talaga sila. Yung mga noblemen kasi, walang kakalat-kalat yung mga kwarto nila eh. No? May samurai armor lang dun sa isang side, tapos photon lang. Tapos sa umaga, nililigpit pa yung photon. Eh. Siguro marami din talagang storage room yung mga castle. I mean, saan nila nilalagay yun, diba?
Yung yung parang sliding door tapos yung cabinet nila parang ganun.
Ah, pwede, yun nga eh. Pero yung isang meron talagang part nung room na it's so clear. Clear.
Minimalist.
Of kalat. Shogun stars Hiroyuki Call Me If Hollywood Needs a Samurai.
Sanada.
He plays Lord Toranaga, who is based on the historical figure Tokugawa Ieyasu of the Tokugawa Shogunate. Si Cosmo Jarvis naman plays John Blackthorne, who is based on William Adams, the first Englishman to reach Japan. And then Anna Sawai as Toda Mariko, who is based on Hosokawa Gracia. Iniisip ko nung pinanood natin siya kung saan ko siya nakita before.
Oh, nalaman mo na?
Naalala ko lang na siya nga pala yung bida sa Monarch Legacy of Monsters na hindi ko pa rin natatapos hanggang ngayon.
Okay.
People have been saying that it's like Japanese Game of Thrones. I think it's safe to say that it's not a Ned Stark plot.
Yeah, I was expecting mamamatay ba siya agad?
Bakit ba natin iniisip na mamamatay na si Lord Toranaga agad?
Pag magaling ka and ikaw lang yung magaling, you'll be beheaded.
If he's based on Tokugawa Ieyasu, he's probably not losing his head anytime soon. There's plot armor and then there's historical armor. I mean, alam naman natin na si Rizal hindi siya mamamatay until he's executed sa bagong bayan. Alam naman natin na yung Gomburza, magsusurvive sila until the Garote moment, di ba?
Okay.
So, not that I'm biased because samurai are freaking cool, but I think they've been showing us all of the right things so far. Japanese civilization, political intrigue, customs and traditions, that's pretty barbaric from the point of view of other societies. You won't understand it if you don't know how much they value honor. Yung mga ganun. Yeah. We've seen 3 episodes. How was it so far?
I have no background of the novel or even the history of Japan in this era. I mean, I don't know kung tinuro to sa world history, tas nakalimutan ko na.
Alam ko lang na sometime after nitong time period na to, naging isolationist yung Japan. Nagkaroon sila ng ganung policy na ayaw na namin sa mga foreigners.
Kasi diba, may trade pa ditong nangyayari, supposedly. Mm. Nawala yun. Parang ganun.
I guess. Siguro mas nirestrict nila.
But I guess the themes here are universal. Greed for power, using religion for profiteering, honor nga, like you've mentioned. And most interesting for me is how the characters are outsmarting and getting ahead of each other in the politics of it all. Ala, Game of Thrones, as you've said. It also sparks interest to learn about the history in parallel, but of course, diligently discerning which is fiction and which is real-based material. But I guess what really surfaces is the rich culture of Japan that's portrayed here. There's seppuku sa simula pa lang, in line with honor as you've mentioned. At the same time, there's also this recognizing as a senseless way to go based on the context of bakit kailangan mag-end up na ganun. And all the more compelling is because it's carried by veteran actor Hiroyuki Sanada nga, sabi mo. Yung naalala ko kung nasan siya is Bullet Train and John Wick.
Basta.
And apparently marami pa palang iba na hindi lang ako into those
basta
types of movies.
Basta kung kailangan mo ng tao na magkikerry ng samurai sword. Avengers Endgame nga.
Yeah, nakalagay. Sino siya dun?
Kinalaban ni Hawkeye sa Japan.
Oh, duh.
Samurai, duh.
Siya pala yun. Nakita ko nga, kasama sa credits yung Endgame. Sabi ko, alin dun? Black Order ba siya? Maganda rin pag wala kang background kasi di mo in-expect na, ay, yung character pala to, main character pala siya. Kasi sa simula, ang dami niyang pinapakitang iba-iba eh. I realized din na personally, hindi talaga ako excited when it comes to period dramas that are based on real history. I mean, there's Game of Thrones, diba? But that's fictional. We know that there are a lot of popular K-dramas, for example, of this type that we did not pick up. I guess I feel like I'd be overwhelmed kasi by all the details and context that I have to note of on top of the story they're telling. And then here we are. You wanted to watch this and so far, enjoying the series naman.
I'll keep it short. Shogun. Show clean, show goods.
Okay, is it?
But I'll be honest, it didn't quite hit me as hard as the first episodes of recent series like True Detective Night Country or Expats. But I'm here for the rest of it. And that's a recent binge.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye. Galing mo ah, Marie Kondo, so clean.